As man explores space, what changes may take place back on his home planet? James Tiptree Jr. offers one possibility. In Houston, Houston, do you read?
Houston. Houston, this is Sunbird. Sunbird calling Houston. Houston, do you read? Come in, Houston.
High gate's shot. That's why we can't hear them.
No way. Doc's checked it out. Still too much interference from the sun. Isn't that right, Doc?
Repeated conversation. Rote. The silent radio demands an answer. Rational response to an irrational situation. I have no answer. A circuit of the sun then cleared. We should have received Earth days ago, but nothing. No sound but static. As scientists, I calm them, repeating platitudes which do not fit. The residual radiation from the flare is just about in line with us. They could have a hard time sorting us out.
Well, we're already outside Mercury. Houston should be broadcasting by now, even if they haven't heard us.
Give it another 24 hours.
And another. Damn. Houston. Sunbird to Houston. Sunbird to Houston.
But how many times have I told you?
Maybe that flare just fried our antenna.
Leave the receiver on.
Judy?
We could...
Judy?
What's that?
Marco! I'm so glad we got you. What are you doing on this band?
We read you. This is Mission Sunbird calling Houston. Sunbird 1 calling Houston Ground Control. Identify, who are you? Can you relay our signal? Over.
Some skip. Some ham operator with an incredible skip.
Are you in trouble, Judy? I can't hear. You sound terrible.
This is NASA Mission Sunbird 1. Mission Sunbird calling Houston Space Center. Are you DXing our channel? Identify. Repeat. Identify yourself and say if you can relay to Houston. Over.
Bingo, Judy. Try it again.
It's not ham. It can't. Get level and bearing on that transmission. You are intercepting official traffic from the United States Space Mission to Houston Control. If you cannot relay to Houston, then get off the air.
You still sound terrible. What's Houston? Who's that talking anyway? You know we don't have much time.
Jesus, that's close. There. It's pegging the dial.
A bogey. Somebody else out there.
Hello? We have you now. Why are you so far out? Are you Dinko? Did you catch the flare?
All right, it's about 300,000 kilometers, guesstimated, possibly headed away around the sun. It could be cosmonauts, maybe? A Soviet mission?
Out to beat us? They missed.
With a girl.
Oh, they've done that before. You taping this, bud?
Roger. It sure doesn't sound like a Rusky chick. Who the hell's Judy?
This is Major Norman Davis, commanding in the United States spacecraft Sunbird 1. Request you identify yourself. Repeat, who are you? Over.
Judy, quit joking. We're going to lose you in a minute. Now, don't you realize that we've been worried about you?
Sunbird to unidentified craft, this is not Judy. I say again, this is not Judy. Who are you? Over.
What the... Wait a minute, Margo. This is Judy Paris and Gloria. What's going on here?
This is Major Davis, commanding the United States mission Sunbird on course for Earth. We do not recognize any spacecraft, Gloria. Will you identify yourself? Over.
We just did. There is no spacecraft Sunbird, and you're knocked on course for Earth. If this is an Andy joke, it isn't any good.
This is no joke, madam. This is the American Circumsolar Mission, and we are American astronauts. We do not appreciate your interference. Out.
Gloria. Dan recalls being records of a Sunbird program back at the turn of the millennium. Sunbird 1 disappeared in 1998. Major Davis, did I hear you say you were on course for Earth?
Affirmative.
Our readings indicate you won't node with anything on your present course. Where do you see Earth now? Not coordinates. Give us the constellation.
Doc, you take the mic.
Earth's apparent position should be Pisces, approximately 3 degrees from Gamma Piscium.
It's not. Can't you see it's in Virgo?
Well,
but we've sustained some shell damage. The windows are glazed from the flare eruption, but we know the relative direction of Earth on October 19th. It's in Pisces.
October? It's March. March 15th. You must have... March...
Electromagnetic frost. Listen.
Passed through a magnetic wave which deflected you through a time distortion. We will be coming up behind you after our transit. Now, you stay on this band. Try to communicate with our bikes if you can. Your signal will enable them to reach you back.
Put it on auto-scan, Doc. All frequencies. Remember that one we pulled on old Howie?
Listen, guys, I don't think it's a joke. There's no way to jimmy those transmission bearings. No way at all.
Sounded Australian. Now, we had some Aussie bunnies at Hickam. Australia. Woo-wee. Hey, suppose Wallara's sending up some kind of combined do with someone?
They have no capability whatsoever.
We ran into some fairly strange phenomenon during that flyby, Dave. Well, there could have been more to that flare that came up at us other than just radiation. I'm beginning to wish we could do a visual check.
Did you goof on your navigation, Doc?
Nothing to goof. The whole trajectory is pre-programmed. No. Earth is where I said it is, if it's October. But, well, Virgo is where it would appear in March.
Do an EVA?
Still too much background radiation to risk it. I've got both their transmission bearings, though. Look, let me deploy the nav scope and double-check the gyros. It'll take just a little time.
Yeah, we got that. Go ahead, Doc. Run the program.
Okay, now, here, look at the screen. Mm-hmm. You see that mag 4 just off center?
Yeah.
That's Beta Piscium, right where it should be, okay? And see the circlet just off to its side?
Mm-hmm.
But we should be able to see Earth at this magnification right about here, big and full. No Earth, no full moon.
You sure? Well, maybe that's not Beta Piscium.
Checks three ways, Dave. No deviation on the gyros. It looks right, and the spectrometer matches. Spike for spike, that's Beta, all right. And the radio signals we got. The farther transmission originates 149 degrees from our trajectory. Right in the middle of Virgo. Where they said Earth was.
Virgo.
March. It can't be March.
But we went through some wild stuff back there. I mean, dipping through that flare. Maybe we...
Had a real dingo trip. What did you say, Margo? Roy, over.
Hey, that's a new frequency.
We've caught enough to do a triangulation on the location of the other craft. The transmissions originated outside your orbit. Why don't you use your high-meg mapping camera to run a search around Beta area?
Will do.
Doc, where's that coming from?
Behind us. Close to Venus.
We've got something, Margo, but it's so small. How can anyone live in there?
Hey, that's Judy. Dave, this is screwy. It's all in English. Some ESA project, maybe Aryan.
Judy, listen up. While you were off contact, Jan looked up that history. Now, there were three people on the Sunbird flight. A Major Norman Davis. A Major was just a military title. And then they said Doc. There was a scientific officer on board, Dr. Orrin Lorimer. Now, the third was a captain, but that's just another title. Bernhard Gehr. Just the three, and all males, of course. The vessel had an early reaction engine and limited fuel. The point is, the mission was lost. Everything was fine until they went out of transmission range around the sun. Then they never reappeared. And that was about the time the first big solar flare started. Now, Jan thinks they must have been close to one. The transmission mentioned skin damage.
Never reappeared.
Jan says that maybe the disruption in those super flares could collapse the local time dimension. Why don't you have Andy run that through with your new data and see if you agree?
It could confirm Francis' theory that our system is passing through a micro black hole cluster. The resultant time disruption could be explained.
France? Who's France?
Well, it's hard to imagine, but the theory works. And they're there. I mean, 0.3 megacaves outside you and scooting towards Aldebaran. They're in big trouble if they don't have a lot of power to spare. Well, we'll go back to the original frequency and try to talk to them.
Well, Doc, were we in a black hole?
Well, not in one, or we wouldn't be here if we are here. But we could have passed...
Calling Sunbird 1. This is Luna Central calling Major Norman Davis. We're very puzzled as to who you are and how you got into your present position. If you really are Sunbird 1, we think you must have skipped forward in time when you passed through some sort of a gravitational phenomenon. Over.
Aren't you going to answer?
Can this be?
Look at the source bearing, Dave. If that's coming from the Earth or the Moon, this has to be March.
Calling Sunbird 1, we think you may have a serious course problem. Repeat, you have a serious course problem. You are headed for October position for Earth. It is not, repeat, not October. Current Earth date is March 15th. Time, 2000 hours. Over.
It is not possible.
It checks on radio bearings. I cannot imagine anyone going to this much expense and trouble for a practice.
Sunbird, you said your ports are damaged. Can't you go out and look? If we're right, you have to make a major course correction. And the sooner the better. Do you have enough fuel? Can we help you with the computer plot analysis? Sunbird, please come in.
Aren't you going to answer? Don't be stupid. Dave, 149 degrees is the difference between Gamma Piscium and Spica. The transmission is coming from where they say Earth is.
You goofed. You and your heathen computers and your goof.
I did not goof. Now it has to be March.
This is insane. It's some trick. Some goddamn trick.
Bud, don't you ever talk like
that. Dave. Now look. Our antenna is pointed straight at Spica. Now, I don't care if you think I goofed. If Earth is over there, we have to change our course. And soon, all right? At least rotate the ship so we can try to spot it in the nav scope. If Earth's there, we can see it.
Oh, they don't answer. You want to try it?
Back on the other frequency again. I must think it's private.
All right, Margo. Sight, listen. We've been thinking. If these people really are from the past, this must be very traumatic for them. They could just be realizing that they'll never see their world again.
That's right. Maida says these males probably had children and women they lived with. They'll be missing them terribly. You know, this is exciting for us, but maybe incredibly frightening for them. Maybe they think that we're aliens or hallucinations.
Agreed, Margot. We were discussing that, too. Going back over to that frequency, Al. Sunbird, are you there? Major Davis of Sunbird, this is Judy Paris of the ship Gloria. Can you respond? Please reply if you possibly can.
Come on, Dave. Do something.
Sunbird, please don't be frightened. We're people just like you. We want to help. Respond, please. Margo, they won't peep. Maybe they're dead. Maybe they're aliens.
Judy, had another thought. These people had a very rigid authority code. You remember your history. They tech ordered everything. You remember Major Davis repeated about commanding. That's called dominant submission structure. He apparently gives orders, and the others do whatever they're told. And we don't quite know why, but the point is, if Major Davis is in shock or panic, maybe the others can't reply unless he lets them.
Margo, we're losing your transmission. Another EM prompt.
Come on, Dave. At least rotate the ship so we can try to spot Earth with the nav scope. Or respond! For Christ's sakes, do something before we lose it!
I will allow no profanity aboard this ship!
It's an archaic dominant command structure. The secondary crew members would, by training, submit to the leader, no matter what the danger.
Now, but don't they know they're on a bad course? I mean, could the dominant one really lead them right out of the system?
Hey, though. Let's see if we take a look. Much fuel would take to do a quick rotate and get that scope ground. First, Curtis.
Mm-hmm.
I guess. Doc, what's the pitch bank on the bearing angle?
Try 83 degrees.
Gotcha. Bud, give me 12 points positive pitch nose attitude, one positive bank. Manual on the burn. Ready?
Roger.
Here goes.
Center in. Zoom. Got it. Now look. That's it. And there's the moon. They're both almost full from this angle.
Whew, there she is, all right. Hey, Dave, look at that.
You sure it's Spica?
Nothing that bright anywhere near Pisces, but let me run it through the spectrometer and confirm. Yeah, see that blue peak? That's Spica, all right.
Houston? Sunbird to Houston. Sunbird calling Houston. Come in.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Well, what do you say?
Thy kingdom come.
Calling Major Davis in Sunbird. This is Luna Central. We are the service and communications facility for spaceflight now. We are sorry to have to tell you that there is no space center at Houston anymore. Houston itself was abandoned when the shuttle base moved to White Sands over 2 centuries ago.
Dave, take the mic. Talk to him, Dave.
Sunbird to Luna Control. Central, we copy. We have no immediate problems, but we cannot sustain life support for more than 3 months. Now, we copy the course change suggestion and appreciate your offer of computer assistance. Please transmit position data so we can get squared away. Considering the situation, we are economizing on transmission power. We'll sign on again in 30 minutes for response. Over. Power down. Terminate any unnecessary power drains.
Yes, sir.
Meters down.
Down, sir.
Sunbird, this is Gloria.
Gloria, Sunbird here. Any suggestions on the navigation problem?
Sunbird, negative. We see 3 options regarding your present trajectory and fuel reserves. A close flyby of Venus is in your capabilities, but its gravity won't give you quite enough acceleration to catch Earth, and your present course takes you totally out of reach. The only other option would be an Oolage maneuver, killing your velocity so that Earth would cut you on your next orbit. Is that viable?
Negative. Negative, Gloria. Life support systems will not maintain for that length of time.
Elaborate, Sunbird. We do not understand.
Gloria, our oxygen supplies will hold out only another 3 months. Food and water about the same. We cannot survive for another orbit of Earth.
Explain, Sunbird. Are your greenhouses damaged?
We have no greenhouses, Gloria.
Please stand by.
What was that about?
Gloria must have operated with renewable systems somehow. Greenhouses to consume CO2 and give off oxygen.
Well, all they had to worry about would be food.
No. The greenhouses would provide that as well. Don't you see vegetables, fruit, even meat or fish if they use the produce for fodder?
Imagine fresh meat. Oh, when we get this baby back, Stars ain't going to study old buddy no more. A nice beach about a zillion steaks and ale and all the sweet things. Hey, y'all notice the voices we hear? They're all women.
Well, now, they mentioned someone named Andy, too. Well,
there were girls training when we went up.
Well, yeah. I mean, space is safe now. The girlies have taken over. Let them sweat their cute little buns off. frees us for the serious work.
Sunbird, sorry. We've been looking at other options, considering your limitations. Give us some time to work out the trajectories.
Any hope?
Yeah, possibilities. Wait until we work it out. You do have EVI capability, don't you?
Affirmative, Gloria.
Good. Oh, and Sunbird, Earth has compiled a history for you. Luna's ready to pass it on. Go ahead, Margot.
Thanks, Gloria. Sunbird, this is Luna. It's been difficult because nobody here really does history anymore. But we've got some main points you might find interesting. Okay, let's see. Probably the most important is that there aren't as many people as you had. We're just over 2 million.
2 million? There were 8 billion people on Earth.
There was a world epidemic not long after your time. It didn't really kill people, but it reduced the population. I mean, there weren't any babies in most of the world. Sterility, you know. The country called Australia was affected least.
Told you she sounded like an Aussie.
Quiet.
And North Canada wasn't too bad. So the survivors all got together in the south part of the American states where they could grow food and where the best communications and factories were. Nobody lives in the rest of the world. Okay, what we do? We have 5 main activities. Was industry the word? Well, food. That's farming and fishing. Communications, transport, and space, and that's us. Gloria's out on a flyby of the 2 inner planets, and that's how she happens to be in your neighborhood. Oh, and you'd be interested to know that we use Zeppelins for travel, just like you did. We have 6 big ones. Now, then there are the factories. We live a lot simpler than you did, I think. The 5th activity is the children. Babies.
Whew. 2 million people and space capabilities. Man, that is incredible.
There's a lot they're not telling us. Thanks for the history lesson, Luna. We really appreciate it, but we can't figure out how you could maintain a space program with only a couple million people.
Sunbird, yes, I would have thought that you'd want to know about space. Well, we only have 4 real spaceships and 1 building. 2 are on the Mars run now. Maybe the Mars Dome was since your day. You had the old satellite stations, though, didn't you? And the old Luna Dome? You know, we owe a lot to you, really. You men, I mean.
Are you hearing what I'm hearing?
Not one word about their government. Not a word about economic conditions. We're talking to a bunch of monkeys. Luna, Margot, who's your president?
President? Oh, you mean like queens and kings? No, we realize you had a very complex government, but with so few people, we don't have that type of formal structure at all. Our communications are good, and everyone is kept informed. The people in each activity are in charge of doing it while they're there.
What do you mean, while they're there?
Well, we rotate, mostly in 5-year hitches. I used to be on the Zeppelins and such. We all work, and things are basically more stable now, I gather. But we can't, take you to our leader, if that's what you mean. Oh, it's just an old joke. We make a big effort not to let the language drift.
Margot, have an update on the problem, if we can interrupt.
Go ahead.
Sunbird, this is Gloria. Listen, we've been figuring. We think if you use all your fuel, you could come back in close enough to our orbit so we could swing out and pick you up. We can't march exactly, but you have suits and some kind of propellants, don't you? I mean, you could fly across a few kais.
That's a good thought, Gloria. Have you cleared this with Luna?
What? It's our business. We'd only miss another look at Venus. Who cares? We have plenty of food and water, and if the air gets smelly, we can stand it.
Hey, these chicks are all right.
We've been looking at that, too, Judy. We're not sure you understand the risk. Sunbird, excuse me. Judy, if you manage to pick them up, you'll have to spend nearly a year in the ship with these male creatures from a very different culture. Jan says you should remember history, and it's a risk, no matter what Connie says. Sorry, Sunbird. Hate to be so rude. Over.
Afraid all the little girls will come back knocked up.
Margot, they're all human beings. It isn't just Connie. We're all agreed. Andy and Lady Blue think it would be very interesting. And we can't let them go without trying.
We understand. But there's another problem. They could be carrying diseases. Sunbird, I know you've been isolated for 14 months, but you could be carrying something dormant that isn't even around anymore. Maybe some of ours could harm you, too.
We thought of that, too, Margot. Look, If you have contact with them at all, somebody has to test. True, we're ideal. By the time we get home, you'll know. And how could we get sick so fast we couldn't put Gloria in a stable recovery orbit?
And what about that epidemic they've had down there? I'm not sure I want to risk losing the family jewels.
You'd rather stay out here?
Sunbird, our health person thinks that what we have to fear most is the meningitis influenza complex. They mutate so quickly, but if Gloria's willing to take the risk, then they're welcome to give it a try.
Roger. Thank you. By the way, as to your concerns about our behavior, I want to inform you that at the time of takeoff, the incidence of rape in the United States Space Cadre was 0.00. I guarantee the conduct of my crew, providing Gloria can control hers.
Roger, Sunbird. We don't anticipate any problems here. Now, if you're ready, we have some vector and thrust figures for you. The intercept should take about 40 days, but any delays will multiply. Are you ready to copy?
Ready, Gloria. Ready to copy.
Okay. At
13:46:52. As their craft drifts on toward rendezvous and rescue, the men of Sunbird anticipate the potential of this brave new world into which they have been strangely transported.
Coming up on the port monitor.
You believe the size of the ship, Bud? Hoo-wee! Looks like a flying trailer park.
Your trajectory looks good, Major Davis. It should be in the entry in about a minute. We're opening the airlock. It's rotating into your view now between the two larger spars. Adjust your angle and speed as you see fit.
Inside. Correcting and braking.
Andy Kay, leave the camera for now and help them at the airlock. The automatic recorders will get everything that we need for this study. Watch and tell me when they're clear of the door.
Approaching. One has a handhold. He's pulling in. Oh, there's the second. Third's in and looks clear now. Oh, wait. There's a container with them. Personal belongings and records, I'd guess. It's in. Close the lock.
I'll get it. Andy, perhaps you'd better help them out of their suits.
Thanks. Helmet first.
Good air in here. You must be the commanding officer. I'm Major Norman Davis. This is Captain Bud Gare, and that's Doc Lorimer. Pleased to meet you.
And I. But you're mistaken. No one here commands in your sense.
Hmm?
I'm just the oldest. This is Connie. Judy's you've been talking to. Judy Paris and Judy Dakar.
Hello. Nice to meet you at last.
And Andy Kay.
A little young for space service, aren't you, kid? You're not even shaving yet.
The whole ship's a greenhouse. Look at those vines.
Oh, we let them grow where they want. Just trim them back if they begin to interfere.
Grasshoppers? Good God, I just saw a grasshopper.
The chickens eat them. And crickets and the seeds, of course. The iguanas mostly eat the vine tips. Keeps the growth down.
Chickens. Just eggs, or do you eat the chickens, too?
We eat them. They're better than iguana, I think. With this much light, we could keep a goat, don't you expect? You don't have any life at all on your ship, true?
No, not a single iguana.
But they promised us a Shetland pony for Christmas.
We've got to get back to the course changes now you're in.
Oh, come on then. Let me show you around. Did you bring some clothes?
No.
Well, no problem. We've plenty of robes. They should do you.
Yes, and you could all use something to eat, I expect. Then you'll probably want to rest. We've cleaned out some cubbies for you.
I'll show them, Connie. Come this way. We'll get you comfortable.
The robes. Was I talking aloud? Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, don't be. I like to listen. It's a Connie trait. It's so sad to hear about your wife and your children. They must have been wonderful people.
What else have I said? It's the drug. You're drugging us. We've been on Gloria 4 months. Why are you drugging us now?
No, it's all right, truly. We all use it when we need to explore something. Usually it's pleasant, a disinhibitor, like alcohol, but somewhat more so, and it doesn't discoordinate you. We'll be arriving in Earth orbit soon, you see, and we have the responsibility to understand you men. But you're all so inhibited, locked in. It's been so hard for us to really learn about you. You just don't let your feelings out. Well, you don't feel sick, do you? We have the antidote.
No. We're not locked in. It's just that we only talk when we have something to say, not like you. You talk of everything.
Well, it's natural to share.
Natural like ants. Talk, twiddle, like ants. They twiddle their antennas when they meet. Or bees dancing. Twiddle, like women.
Ants, bees. You truly see us as insects, don't you? Well, because they're females.
You don't hold it in. See, we talk, but only when we have something to say. Otherwise, it would all break down. All the structure, the order of things, break down. The calm is the drug. Oh.
Yes, it releases you. Let us know what you're really thinking, what men are really like, inside. Frees you to express your deep thoughts.
The deep. But there are monsters in the deep. Dark heart. Pretty. Where's Judy? Paris, pretty legs. Soft, hot skin, I think of Judy. Oh, Judy. Robe open, sneeze curved short. Belt silken soft. Wrists tied open, waiting. Take the ship. We could take it, you know. Take it all. It's ours.
Take some more. No secrets.
I'm talking again. Where's Dave? Bud, where's Bud?
More juice, there. Have some more juice and relax. Think, tell me more. What about us? What do you men think about us?
Think? Oh, no. I know. Not Bud, and Davis doesn't realize what it is, but I know. 4 months. 4 months and the threads unravel. At first it was little things. A word omitted or a sentence unfinished. A glance between Judy's. And then I started watching. Looking for the patterns. Something missing. Something wrong. Something big. Like space, too big to see. I know. What do you think about Gloria's crew? Not what they look like or how they dress, but what they are.
Oh, I think they're okay.
I don't.
hiding something. They're not telling us the whole story. Something's going on here. Can't you feel it?
Yeah. You notice they never talk about their husbands.
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, maybe they don't have families, James. You ever hear them mention being married?
Come on, Doc. It's got to be the one thing on a chick's mind.
Now, wait a minute. In this much time, the social mores are bound to have changed. Now, obviously, you have the woman doing more work, for one thing, but they have family bonds, that's for sure. Look, Lady Blue, for instance. She has a sister in an aluminum mill and another in health. And Connie has a brother. I think he's on the fishing fleet in Biloxi. That's what she said.
So much is missing. Marriage, love affairs, children's troubles, jealousy, sickness, money problems. They just don't discuss them. And all the trivial daily things that occupied our wives. It's as if it's been sifted out, edited. It doesn't exist.
They all talk about their sisters.
And Dagmar, you'd like her, Lorimer. But she has this tendency to organize everything.
Dagmar, the one who invented the chess opening?
Mm-hmm. Dagmar's smart.
Dagmar's old.
Oh.
Well, Lady Blue told me the gambit was developed a century ago.
Oh, no. Her sister.
A sister? 100 years apart?
A daughter. A granddaughter.
Clones. You two aren't sisters. You're clones.
Clones. Well, yes. We call it sisters. Oh, Mother, we weren't supposed to tell you. Lady Blue said you'd be frightfully upset with us.
I'll keep your secret, but answer some questions for me. How many are there? I mean, how many Judys and Connies and how many Andy Kays?
200 of us. About the same in Connies, I expect. Of course, they're less of Andy Kays. But you're all alone. No sisters to share with. No name, history. Why, well, you just have to blunder through by yourself and die, all for nothing.
But how?
A somatic cell nucleus is isolated and inserted in our nucleated ovum, then reimplanted. We're truly mothers. We both had two. We nursed them in the creche till they were old enough. My youngest Judy is just 6 now. I'll see them soon, both. They'll have grown, of course, but, well...
Judy's will talk. Well, you would have known eventually.
And Andy. I guess that too, you know. Steroid treatments in the womb. Produces an androgyne. She looks male, has the strength. But really, she's...
Yes. We need the muscle power for some jobs, a few. Gays are quite strong anyway. Well, I guess I'm glad, you know. It's been such a strain.
And so evolution ends.
No, why? It's just slowed down. We do everything much slower than you did. We like to experience things fully. See, we have time. We live longer. Connie's ages, for instance, tend to average about 100 years. 108, that was Connie Eagle. She's our record. But she was pretty blah at the end.
But no new genotypes.
Oh, but there are now. Last century, they worked out the way to make haploid nuclei combine. We can make a stripped egg cell function as pollen. What was the old word? Sperm. Oh, it's tricky. Some don't come out too well, but now that we're finding both X's viable, we can have over 100 new types started. Of course, it's hard for them, with no sisters. The donors try to help.
Both X's viable. Then it was a gene or genes on the X chromosome that was damaged during the plague. My God, there would have been no births.
A few men were unaffected, but you're right. The X chromosome was damaged by the disease, but not the Y, and the damage was recessive.
Those men mated, but only their daughters with the dominant unaffected X paired with one of the damaged but recessive X chromosomes from their mother could survive. Boys with their father's Y and damaged X never survived to birth.
That's right.
No boys. A planet of girls and dying men. A few odd viables dying off.
You truly do understand, don't you?
So we'll be perfectly safe on Earth, then. In theory, we can marry again. Have families. Children. And daughters, anyway.
In theory.
Hey, come here, my little queen bee. Come on to Daddy, Judy, Judy. Ever make it in free fall, you sexy little space bunny, you?
Well, what's going on? That's Bud. He's with a Judy.
Oh, no, you've got
to. No, don't worry. Andy's with them.
Whoops. Hey, oh, this room appears to be occupied. Hello, Doc. We interrupt anything with you and Mama Connie? No, of course not. Not the noble Dr. Lorimer. Well, let me show you how a real man handles these hot little space stews.
I've got to stop him. He's just not like this. Now, stop him, for God's sake.
Oh, God? No, she's a woman now, you know? Hey, where's the preacher? Where's good old Dave? Trying to convert Ms. Blue, I'll bet. Convert that ice queen into a puddle and I'll
just... Give him the antidote. Now, you don't know what he'll do. Let me out. Let me out, please.
And
let
you,
me stop him.
And you, Andy, now listen. You're a great kid, but Sis Judy and I have some adult things to discuss. Why don't you go somewhere and get that damn camera out of my face? Here's a couple of dollars. Go see a movie.
Bud. Bud. They've drugged us. Now, trying to find what men are really like.
Yeah, I'll tell you what we're like. We're drones, old Doc. Except wimpy little twerps like you. Paradise. Full of ripe, pink, queen bees like little Judy here.
Honey, I don't like this.
Please, don't interfere.
Hey, Andy, I hear him calling you.
I don't hear.
Shoot, scooch, Andy, go on. Scat, it's New Year's Eve. Sis Judy and I got some partying to do. Happy New Year, kitten.
Happy New Year. Did you used to do special things on New Year?
Oh, did we? Oh, get me out of this damn robe and... You, Andy... I thought I told you to get lost.
Oh, I won't bother you.
Hey, this is man's business, boy. Do I have to spell it out for you? Now, give me that damn camera.
No.
Hey, I've had it with you, you little son of a...
Stop it, Bud! Oh. Stop that! You're hitting a woman!
Get lost, Doc, you little fart. You go get your own.
Andy's a girl. Not a man.
Huh? What the hell are you talking about? Some kind of girl... Where are the boobs, huh? And look there. Hadn't dropped them yet, but...
Her name is Kay. She's an androgyne. She had male hormone treatments before she was born. It made her look male, but she's a woman.
You mean... Oh, she's got a... Oh, why?
There are no men. You imbecile, don't you get it? There are no men. None of these women has ever seen a man in her entire life. Never. We're extinct. Obsolete.
Where do they get the kids?
They grow them artificially. They're clones, Bud. All girls, all 2 million people. There are no men.
God. Mean it.
2 million hot little babes down there.
Fill them, Miss Anders.
And no guys to fill them up. Oh, waiting for old buddy. Oh, God, the last man on earth. You hear that, Sarge? Imagine. They'll be spread out for miles just banging for you. Fighting each other for it. We have contests. Nothing but the pick of the best.
Is he going to emit pollen now?
Very likely.
Oh, come on, Sarge. Come on, give me a good one. Show them what you can do. They'll make statues to you. Oh, my God, they'll worship you.
Judy, save
it. Gail! What? I said there would be no misconduct on my ship, and I mean it. Now get your clothes on, you pervert. Get away from that woman. What the hell are you doing?
Giving them a sperm sample, I should think.
Warm? Are you out of your obscene little mind? Get Captain Gurr to his quarters. Right now.
The Reverend Leroy.
You're drunk. Get to your quarters.
I have news for you, Dave-O. I bet you don't know that we're the last men on earth. 2 million lonely little chicks down there.
I am aware of that. Now you are a drunken disgrace. Warmer, get that man out of here.
I don't have to take that anymore. Hey, nothing counts anymore, Dave. All gone. For what? Hey, we have places to see. I mean, big spreads. Hey, we can go hunting. Do things. It won't just be...
Inject the antidote, Andy.
Antidote? No. What do you mean?
I'll put this sample in the freezer for me.
Good, Judy. Kay, are you all right?
Oh, I'm fine. I felt physical anger. I really wanted to hit him.
Dave, did you really know? Did you find out they're all women?
I always knew they were trying to deceive us. Women will. Now I understand the full extent of the tragedy. They are lost children. They have forgotten who made them. For generations, they have lived in darkness.
They seem to be doing all right.
Women are not capable of running anything. You should know that, Lorimer. I mean, look what they've done here. It's pathetic. Marking time, that's all. Souls. It's not their fault, of course. I recognize that. No one has given them guidance for 300 years. Well, the head of woman is man. Corinthians 1:11-3. I mean, look about you, Andy, that poor child. Mockery. Abomination. We were sent here. This is God's plan. I was sent here. My middle name is Paul. Did you know that? Oh, God, send me strength. Send me strength to lead your erring daughters out of the darkness.
He's just repeating.
Wait. And she brought forth a man-child to rule the nations with a rod of iron. Revelations 12:5.
Davis.
Come to me, my child. What's that for? Serpent. Jezebel.
Wait.
Oh, all right. There's going to be some aura around here starting right now.
What is that thing?
It is a gun. Weapon, cold, survival issue. Don't you know what a firearm is, you miserable savages?
Hold it, stop. Now do what he says. It can kill you. Dave, put that away. Now,
you over there with them.
Wait!
At least Gare's a man when he sobers up. All right, you heathens, let me demonstrate. You see that lizard there?
Ali, get the bell, get him!
Stay where you are!
Let go
of me! Savages! Serpents! Women! What?
damage anything. Put them in the freezers. They'll be wanted for study. And Judy, remove that weapon thing.
They were good men. They aren't bad men. You don't know what bad means. You did this to them. You broke them down with your damn disinhibitor drugs. You made them do crazy things. Was it interesting? Did you learn enough? God. Everybody has aggressive fantasies, but they didn't act on them. Not until you poisoned them.
No, but nobody does. The fantasies, I mean.
They were good men. We all were. We built your precious civilization and your knowledge and your comforts and your dreams, all of it. We protected you. We worked our tails off keeping you and your kids healthy and fed, and it was hard. It was a fight. A bloody fight all of the way. We're tough, you see. But we had to be. Can't you understand? Can't you, for Christ's sakes, understand?
We're trying. We are trying, Dr. Lawrence. Of course we enjoy your inventions, and we do appreciate your evolutionary role, but you must see there's a problem. What you protected people from was largely other males, now, wasn't it? We've just had an extraordinary demonstration of that. You have brought history to life for us.
But it's over.
The fighting is long. It ended when you did. But think about it. We can hardly turn you loose on Earth. And we simply have no facilities for people with your emotional problems.
You could put us on an island. On three separate islands.
Poor dear. You just don't understand, do you?
Your problem is... But if you take the risk of giving us equal rights, what could we possibly contribute?
Precisely.
I see. The drug... the drug has given me a headache. I think I'd best have that antidote now.
All right, I'll get some for you.
Thank you. Just tell me what... What do you call yourselves? I mean, women's world? Liberation? Amazonia? What?
Why, we call ourselves human beings. Humanity. Mankind. The human race.
Here it is, Lorna. I've mixed it with some juice.
Thank you. Thank you.
Our cast for this episode featured Kevin Page as Lorimer, Jerry Nelson as Bud, and Gary Moody as Dave. The crew of Gloria included Cheryl Norris as Connie, Georgia Clinton as Lady Blue, Pam Doherty as the two Judys, and Emily Kelly as Andy Kay. The original story, Houston, Houston, Do You Read?, was written by James Tiptree, Jr., and adapted for Sci-Fi Radio by Douglas R. Frazier. Our director was John O. Williams. All music and sound effects were created by Ron DiIulio. The series producers are Kevin Singer and Ron DiIulio. Support for this program has been provided by a grant from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. This is James Edward Kerr, inviting you to join us soon for our next venture into the imaginary worlds of sci-fi radio.
For information about Sci-Fi Radio or the Sci-Fi Radio poster, send a stamped, self-addressed envelope to Sci-Fi Radio, P.O. Box 232, Commerce, Texas 75428.